is a joy to see all of you in the Lord's house this morning, as this morning's in worship we are indeed privileged to celebrate the service of baptism for Jackson and Mahan. We rejoice in the fact that Jackson and his mother and father and grandmother all came forward and became a part of our fellowship several weeks back. But now that we finally got the baptistry working properly, we can proceed today with our celebration of baptism. We rejoice in the fact that Jackson has made his confession of faith, and we recognize that the service of baptism is a way of identifying with the death of Jesus Christ and also with his resurrection. For the New Testament text of Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul writes for us, "For surely you know that when we were baptized into union with Christ Jesus, we were baptized into union with his death. By our baptism, then, we were buried with him and shared his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from death by the glorious power of the Father, so also we might live a new life."
Good morning, folks. Welcome to the Lord's house this morning. As we do each week, please do sign the friendship register at the end of each row and pass it on to your neighbors down the row from you. And please join us for our final Lenten supper this Wednesday, March 29th at 6 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. The Christian Women's Fellowship will provide the supper. And as we continue looking at the passion or suffering of Christ, Pastor Dennis will explain the meaning behind the curtain in the temple that was torn in two at the time of Christ's death. We also welcome each of you to help with contributions for Flowering of the Cross, which will happen during both the 8:30 and 11 o'clock services on Easter morning. The cost of the approximately 1,000 fresh cut flowers, it's about $1,000. We are grateful for the $860 we've already received, as we have on many past Easter Sundays. These flowers will be used to transform the black cross of death into the flowered cross of Christ's resurrection. There's a flyer, flyer inside your bulletin. If you'd like to contribute and make your contributions in honor of someone, please just make out your checks to Berry Christian Church and write Flowering of the Cross in the memo line so we can ensure the money goes into the appropriate account. Next Sunday, April 2nd, is of course Palm Sunday. And the children and youth will help us usher in the meaning of the day with a procession of palm branches during both services. Then at 3 o'clock next week on Palm Sunday, we'll gather with the youth and children for an Easter egg hunt and party beginning in the Fellowship Hall. We welcome your contributions of small pieces of candy that will fit into the plastic eggs, but we do ask that you not donate chocolate items, as we all know that melted chocolate makes a huge mess. And who knows how warm it might be that day, so no chocolate, please. Then as we progress through Holy Week, on Thursday, April 6th, we will have a Maundy-Thursday service at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. We'll draw our study of the Passion of Christ to a close with an understanding of the blood moon that occurred at the time of Christ's crucifixion. On Saturday, April 8th, the day before Easter, at 10 o'clock a.m., we welcome you to join us in the Fellowship Hall for the trimming of the flowers that will be used for Flowering of the Cross on Easter Sunday morning. There's just lots of moving parts in this whole Easter thing here at Berry. Then on Easter Sunday, April 9th, we are giving our Sunday school teachers a little break. So instead of having classes at 9:45 as we normally do, on Easter we'll gather in a Fellowship Hall for cake and coffee, maybe even some leftovers from sunrise breakfast if we're lucky. This will be a time to welcome Angela Bounds as our accompanist and also welcome her into our church home and say a few words of thanks to Ryan for his triple duty these past few weeks, as he's been our pianist, organist, and worship leader. They tell me he's also doing children's sermon and preaching next week. Oh, they didn't tell you? And Easter will also be my final day here at Berry, and I'd certainly welcome a handshake or a hug from those of you comfortable in doing so during that time on Easter Sunday morning. And now, bringing things back to this week, the Bag Ladies group, well, that makes mats for the homeless, begins meeting again this Tuesday, March 28th, from 1 o'clock to 2:30 p.m. And immediately after both services today, we'll have a makeup day for those folks still needing to have their pictures taken for Berry's new directory. Your participation will help us to create a comprehensive directory that we hope will be useful to everyone, as we've had a number of folks join our church family since our last directory was created back in 2019. And finally, I promise, your last announcement this morning. We want to remind our elders, deacons, and committee chairpersons to please attend our March board meeting that will take place today right after the 11 o'clock service in the upper room, and we do need a quorum to vote on a couple of business items for that meeting. All right, now may we begin our service of worship with our call to worship. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, everyone. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. Praise God with shouts of joy, all people. Everyone on earth worships God. They sing praises to his name. His wonderful acts among God's people. We'll now sing hymn number 82, all stanzas of His Eye is on the Sparrow. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled, when tender words I hear. When resting on His goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path He leadeth, but one step I may see. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when song gives place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to Him, care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
May we bow for a moment of prayer. Holy God, we give you thanks for this day, your day, our Lord's day. We present ourselves just as we are, in our imperfections and our emotions and our sins. Oh Lord, we know that you're aware of our every feeling and our every sin, and that you already provided us a means of forgiveness and eternal life through Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. So as we continue to journey to the cross where Christ was crucified, may we remember how that story ended with forgiveness and the promise of life eternal. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. All right, please be seated. All right, we'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon while we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus, I love to hear things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the way, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning, gentlemen. How I confused you with that whole gentleman thing, didn't I? How are you guys this morning? Are you good? All right. Well, hello, young lady. Well, last week we kind of mentioned the fruits of the Holy Spirit, but I didn't really go into that a whole lot. We're going to talk a little bit more about that today. In our Bibles, in the book of Galatians, it lists 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. And do you remember what the fruits of the Spirit were all about? Well, that's what happens when that's what we get from the Holy Spirit, and that's what we can give to others. That's what we can show other people, that we have the Holy Spirit in us. This is stuff that grows in us when we accept the Holy Spirit. I think today's a good day to do that because we had a young man get baptized today. So, there's 9 of them. You gonna count them with me? Can you help me count? Come on, get your hands up there. Help me count. Okay, we're gonna start with love, joy, peace. Are you getting attacked there? Patience, kindness. Oh, 9, so we gotta have the other hand too. Goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. Shall I move? Is that better? Okay. Those are all this wonderful stuff. Love, joy, patience. Sometimes we can all use some patience, huh? Kindness, being kind to each other. Goodness, being good, and showing other people how being good. Sometimes that's hard when we're with other people, other kids who want to do things. Yeah, but we just have to remember, nope, not supposed to do that. That's not a good thing to do. Right? Yeah, that's part of that strength that we get from the Holy Spirit. We'll talk more about that. Not today, though. Okay? Yep. Okay. Holy Spirit's a big part of what Easter's about. It is. Okay. Shall we have a little prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for these children. We thank you for the sunshine. We've missed it this past week. We thank you always for the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gifts that he brings into us and the fruits that we're able to grow and give back to the world, show the world, and always help us to remember to praise and give you the glory always. In Jesus' name we pray. What do we say? Amen. Amen.
As we go to God in prayer this morning, we want to lift up that for Ray and Ann Guthrie, they normally attend the 11 o'clock service, but this will likely be their last Sunday with us as they are moving to Columbia, Missouri to be closer to their daughter and a granddaughter and great-grandchild. So we wish them the very best as they make that transition to Columbia this week. Joe and Kathy Weekly, we're keeping you all in prayer. Bless you guys. And Joe, we're certainly mindful that you'll be going to the KU Medical Center on Wednesday of this week, right, for this procedure for your heart. So we will certainly be keeping you in prayer. We also want to lift up Val Stringer in our prayers. She continues to be at North Kansas City Hospital. She's now on the 5th floor and dealing with concerns with her back and rehabilitation. So please keep her in prayer. And Jake, it's a joy to see you. Bless you. Glad you're back among us, and even in the midst of your transition from one home to another, we know that's a lot of tasking, but also recovering well from the hip surgery. All of our other folks who've had various procedures here lately are doing well. Barbara Mayberry is making very good progress with her rehabilitation, so I think her doctor will be pleased later this week when she has that appointment, but we're grateful for that. Jerry Donahue received word this past Monday that he
is accepted into the kidney transplant program at Research Hospital. Got to do some testing, but if all of that testing proceeds well, then he'll be given that green light for that kidney transplant. So that's been a long journey for Jerry, well over a year that he's had to deal with this process, and we just pray that all this works out well. And Jake, we're keeping your mother, Mary, in our prayers as she's at Ignite along with Debbie Buzinski. We, Ron, we're keeping you in prayer as we know you'll be looking to have radiation treatments coming about this first part of April. Bless you and Karen. Also, Susan Hanks, still at home, still striving through the rehabilitation. I think it's certainly slower than what Susan would want it to be, but we pray for the continued progression as she is seeking to walk in a good way once again. We also keep Vicki Jones in our prayers, and Amy Roberts, Rihanna Ralston, and Chris Ralston did go through the hip repair surgery this past week, and all that has progressed well for her. And we keep Doris McGehee in our prayers with her sister and brother-in-law, Anita and Kurt. I was thinking Doris was going to be back yesterday, but I don't see her in worship this morning. Might be striving to readjust after being in Germany. And I think these are all the people we need to lift up in prayer, so may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence. Merciful and holy God, it is in the spirit of humility that we bow before your presence this Lord's day. For your grace and mercy expressed so abundantly by the presence of your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ, we offer you praise and thanksgiving. For the recent rains that blessed the land and have filled many rivers, lakes, ponds, and reservoirs in recent weeks, we are also thankful. Yet for many across the country, we recognize that circumstances of extreme weather conditions have brought much disruption and even loss into people's lives. Yet whether we experience extremes from weather conditions, personal hardships, or troubles of man-made proportions, may we always seek your guidance and comfort through the uncertainties of life. For as the psalmist writes in Psalm 31, verse 3, you are my refuge, my defense. Guide me and lead me, as you have promised. And as Psalm 55, verse 22 advises us, leave your troubles with the Lord, and he will defend you. He never lets honest people be defeated. With these thoughts in mind, and in the name of Christ our Lord, we offer this prayer on behalf of the people of God as we remember the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
This morning's communion hymn is a simple hymn about remembrance of Christ and his sacrifice for our benefit, to the extent that remembering is repeated in each of the four verses. As the first verse states, "According to thy gracious word in meek humility, this will I do, my dying Lord, I will remember thee." The second verse calls us to remember Christ as we partake in the bread and cup of the Lord's Supper. The third verse calls on us to remember the cross of Christ, that he was indeed the Lamb of God sacrificed for us. And the fourth verse calls on us to remember the pain Christ endured in love for us and reminds us that when Christ will one day reign supreme, surely then we pray that Christ will remember you and me. In prayerful humility, then, we turn to our communion hymn. It's number 402 as we sing all four stanzas of "According to Thy Gracious Word." As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread and gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.'" And so, Jackson, we share with you the bread, if you will. And then in the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me." And so for you, Jackson, we share with you the cup of the Lord's Supper. And this means that every time all of us drink from this cup and eat this bread, we celebrate and remember what Christ has done for us. And Jackson, for you, we rejoice in the fact that you have chosen to make your confession of faith, and this morning you have now been baptized into the fellowship of the Church of Jesus Christ. And so to commemorate this event this morning, I want to present to you this chalice. This is the symbol of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. And on the lower part of it here, it has your name and the date of today's Sunday worship to help you remember. And again, we'll give you the glass cup here. And so if you've got a spot somewhere, you can put that. Maybe that'll help you remember your baptism, but also present to you your baptism certificate as well. Bless you. And it has surely been a joy to celebrate, Jackson, with you and your family members, and we rejoice in the fact that you have made this significant commitment in your life to follow Christ. Praise God. And Ron, we'll have Ron lead us in a word of prayer, please.
Lord, as we take this bread and we remember you, that you are the bread of life. You feed our souls, you nourish our hearts, you give us your peace. Lord, we drink this cup, we remember that you are the giver of life. You are forgiveness, you are peace to our souls and love to our hearts. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you, Jackson. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 states, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." Thus we give generously of our tithes and offerings, for in doing so, there will be no more need. As Anne first leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear God, thank you for the privilege of being able to worship you with gifts of money and talent and service. Of course, those all three pale in comparison to the great gift you gave us when you sent Jesus Christ, your Son, with salvation. Please let these gifts that we gather today be to your honor and make Berry Christian Church a more loving and spiritual place. Bless all these gifts and bless those who give. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Lord God, we pray that this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. You know, as I was reading through the scripture text that I selected for this morning, I realized that time and again, the Apostle Paul has a way of rambling on. He just said, if you try to read his text, sometimes it's kind of laborious because he seems to kind of repeat himself. And given the difficulty that there was in even creating written material, that part always kind of surprises me. But so what I'm going to do is I want to focus on what I think is really the key verse here of this text in Romans chapter 5. We're looking at that 17th verse. Here the Apostle Paul writes, "It is true that through the sin of the one man," meaning, of course, Adam, "death began to rule because of that one man. But how much greater is the result of what was done by the one man, Jesus Christ? All who receive God's abundant grace are freely put right with him and will rule in life through Christ." And of course, to rule in life eternal. And that's what we celebrate, that we are indeed made free because of what Christ has done for us. May we pray. Merciful and loving God, for your great grace, which has been expressed through your plan of salvation for our wayward souls, we are grateful. As your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, dedicated himself, endured testing, and followed through to the completion of your plan for our salvation, may each of us be eternally grateful. In his name we pray. Amen. In our previous study of significant numbers in the Bible, We've understood a number of things, I hope, as we've gone through this series. First of all, the number three. We understand that it stands for the totality and unity of God's presence. And that is why there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When we looked at the number seven, we understood that it represents the fact that God is holy and complete. That's the reason why there are 7 days of creation, and Christ has 7 sayings of his suffering on the cross. Then we looked at the number 10 and understood that God's authority reigns supreme. That in so many occasions in which 10 is a variable in the story, it focuses toward God's authority. That's why there were 10 plagues, that the authority of the God of the Hebrew people is greater than that of the Egyptians. 10 commandments, that the authority of guidance over our lives comes from God. 10% tithe. We are saying that we are wanting to put God first in our lives and acknowledging his authority by giving the 10% tithe. And of course, Jesus had the 10 I am statements in John's gospel. Last week we looked at the number 12, symbolic of God's governing authority in our lives, represented in the 12 tribes of Israel and of course also the 12 disciples. This morning, this will be our last message concerning the meaning behind numbers in the Bible. And what I'm doing this morning is combining the numbers 30, 40, and 50. Now I must admit, one of the reasons why I'm combining them is because we got to move on into Palm Sunday next Sunday and focus on Palm Sunday, and then we got to be focusing on Easter Sunday. And so if we drug this out much longer, you'd be forgetting what I've been talking about with the numbers anyway, right? So that's one reason. But what I realized is as I looked at the numbers 30, 40, and 50 is how our Lord Jesus fulfills the meaningfulness of these three numbers in his own life. And even if you don't always remember the meanings that have been assigned to these various numbers, remember this comes from the Hebraic tradition of which Jesus and his followers would have been a part. So they knew these things about these numerical values. Even before Jesus also exercised the value that he was placing into those numbers. But even if you don't really remember the meaning behind the numbers 3, 7, 10, 12, 30, 40, and 50, what I especially hope you will take away from this series is an appreciation for this biblical truth, that the meaning attributed to these special numbers communicates God's intelligent and intentional intervention into the affairs of humanity so that we may be saved. The meaning attributed to the specific numbers in the Bible points to God working in our lives and to God's plan for the salvation of humanity through who? Through Christ our Lord. So with that in mind, let's look at these numbers, 30, 40, and 50. 30, first of all. 30 in the Bible, Old or New Testament, typically is a reference to dedication to a particular calling. Numbers chapter 4, verse 1. Through Moses, God instructed the tribe of Levi to register the men of the tribe for service in the tabernacle in the wilderness, and their service as priests began at the age of 30, because it was considered that age 30 was when a person was of the optimum physical and mental level of maturity. We know also in the Old Testament, Joseph, the 11th child of Jacob, became second in command of the land of Egypt when he was how old? 30. Genesis chapter 41, verse 46, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 1, Saul became the first king of Israel at what age? 30. John the Baptist, a descendant of the priestly clan of the Levites. His mother, of course, was a descendant of the daughters of Aaron, and his father was a priest. He began his ministry at the age of 30. Did you know that? And Jesus began his ministry, it is believed, at about what age? 30. I bet you probably knew that part. Did you know that answer? You got that one. But see, you didn't know all the others, did you? But do you see the consistency? So it is the emphasis of responding and carrying forward a calling. And in essence, especially a calling from who? From God, you see. It is this consistent dedication of significant biblical leaders at the age of 30 that clearly indicates that God's hand is in the plan, not just at a given time period, but all through these centuries of human history, you see? That's how these numerical values have value for us. They show the hand of God working through the centuries. 40 in the Bible often symbolizes a period of trial, probation, or testing. Moses lived 40 years in Egypt, followed by 40 years in the desert, before God called him to lead the Hebrew people out of Egypt. Moses was on Mount Sinai for how many days? 40 days and 40 nights, right? To receive God's laws. Numbers chapter 13, verse 25 tells us that the 12 spies of Israel were sent out to look over the promised land for 40 days. Again, a period of probation, a period of trial. Jonah warned the ancient city of Nineveh for 40 days. Elijah went 40 days without food or water at Mount Horeb. And just a few days before his crucifixion, Jesus prophesied about the total destruction of Jerusalem, as it's recorded in Matthew 24 and Mark 13, and it was 40 years later that the Roman Empire destroyed the city of Jerusalem and Herod's temple. And most importantly for us today, we know that Jesus was tempted by Satan for how long in the wilderness of Judah? 40 days. And how long did Jesus appear to speak to his followers after his resurrection and before his ascension into heaven? 40 days. So you see again, you see the consistency? A time of trial, a time of contemplation. 40. 50 in the Bible often symbolizes freedom from a burden or deliverance. Leaving Egypt, God led the Hebrew people for 50 days before he called Moses up to the top of Mount Sinai. You know, now that was a new one for me. We learned that in the Sunday school class with the book we've been studying. It doesn't seem like a long period, does it? You know, it wasn't, you know, months on end, 6 months, a year, or whatever. No, it was precisely 50 days from the time they left Egypt until God had Moses go up to the mountain to receive the law. Exactly 50 days. That's God's hand working in the process. 50 days out of Egypt and obedience to God's law was to establish a new form of freedom. Freedom not only from Egyptian slavery, but freedom from sinfulness. It was God's plan that a new nation of Israel would create a new society governed by very distinctive laws that could enhance trust and honesty, et cetera, so that people could live together in peace. You see, if the world could ever live by the model that God was trying to put together with what we see with the establishment of the Hebrew people, the world could be a whole different place. And certainly if we followed the example of Christ, couldn't the world be a whole different place? And then in the New Testament, the word Pentecost comes from the Greek word for 50. And in the Jewish teaching of Jesus' day, the 50th day after Passover begins the celebration of what's called the Feast of Weeks or First Fruits in the Jewish tradition. But most importantly for us today, Christ as our Savior was offered up as the first fruits through the sacrifice of his blood on the cross. That is, again, the melding of a Jewish concept into Christianity that we don't get that whole message, because it's usually not preached. But you see, Jesus became the first fruits through his sacrifice. And then that first Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover, the first fruits of the spiritual harvest of humanity's salvation is fulfilled by the Christian believers who are blessed with the Holy Spirit, as is described to us in Acts chapters 1 and 2. Right? They receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And then we see the flourishing of the church of Jesus Christ henceforth. But Christ was the first fruits offering. That was a fundamental principle of the Jewish heritage of which Jesus was a part. So there's your 50. So today, I propose that we've seen the biblical meaning behind the numbers 30, 40, and 50 course through the biblical story of human history. But that in the end, Christ fulfills the meaning of all three numbers. 30. At 30 years of age, Christ dedicated himself to God's plan of salvation for humanity. 40. Christ, just like many other key biblical leaders, was put to the test. For 40 days in the Judean wilderness, he was. And then after his resurrection, he taught his believers for 40 days before his ascension. And 50, Christ, through his ministry, his crucifixion, his death and resurrection, fulfilled all of God's plan. He offers himself as the first fruits, and therefore the blessing of the 50th day, Pentecost, is the establishment of the Church of Jesus Christ and Christian people for generations to come. So that's why this text here in Romans chapter 5, verse 17 is key. It is true that through the sin of one man, Adam, death began to rule because of that one man. But how much greater is the result of what was done by the one man, Jesus Christ? All who receive God's abundant grace and are freely put right with him will rule in life through Christ. And therefore, out on the sign, I simply stated, Christ sets us free. The text is Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Freedom is what we have. It's freedom from sin. Christ has set us free. Stand then as free people and do not allow yourselves to become slaves of sin again. So as we've looked at the meaning of all of these numbers, 3, 7, 10, 12, 30, 40, and 50, I hope more than anything that you have been able to appreciate how in the meaning of these numbers we see God's hand coursing through all of these centuries of human history. And every time we see the value, the numerical value here, we say, oh yeah, I see how that connects to God's plan. Thousands of years ago, then at the time of Christ, and even for you and me today. So I ask you, do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Maybe today is your day to come forward, become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation as we turn to our hymn of invitation. It's number 93, Praise Him, Praise Him. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 3, please.
Praise
blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house. And again, a reminder, pictures are being taken as a makeup time. Anybody who hadn't had pictures taken for the new directory, I believe they're doing that downstairs in the fellowship hall. Also today, board meeting for our elders, deacons, and committee chair people. We do have a couple of items of business we need to vote on, so attendance is certainly most helpful. And remember the flowering of the cross. We are still taking donations for the flowers. As of last Sunday, our total that we've received so far is $860, and our goal is about $1,000, and your contributions are genuinely appreciated. May we bow our heads. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit empowers us to experience the fullness of your presence and to know of your great grace for us. And so as we journey ever closer to Palm Sunday and Easter, may this be a time of joyful celebration for us. In Christ's name we give thanks as we depart. Amen.
See you.